Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Thank you for tuning in again to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. This is Barry York, one of the co-hosts, and I'm joined, as always, with my good friends, Kyle Borg and Scott Hunt. Podcasting is the natural social distancing feature, and so we're glad to be able to see one another, yet have hundreds of miles between us. We're glad you've joined us today, and we're going to try something a little different on this particular episode of 3GT. Guys, do you ever read Reader's Digest?
I used to read my grandmother's copy of Reader's Digest. It, you know, as an elderly woman, he loved it, and I would read some of the funnier articles.
Well,
I can't say as I ever owned it or ever received it, but I do recall going to doctor's offices or other places and reading some of the stories in there.
Yeah, it's always a good source of stories, and there were certain sections I remember reading, and I haven't read it for years now, but Humor and Uniform, mm-hmm. or Laughter is the Best Medicine, where they told anecdotes of either jokes or stories that happened, for instance, in the military. So it was always good for a good laugh. And so we thought maybe today on this episode that we would just share some of the how life in the church can be humorous at times. There's been a lot of talk about the virus, a lot of people worried about things. And even in the midst of difficulty, it's okay every now and then to take a break from all the serious business and just have a little bit of fun, laughing at the humor that's around us. The writer of Ecclesiastes said there's a time to laugh and a time to weep. And there has been a lot of weeping. As this virus continues to spread, it's touched people that I know. And so there is times for mourning those losses. But in the midst of this, there's still funny things that are happening around us that it's okay to pause and laugh a little bit with one another. And so we thought we would just share some anecdotes, things that have happened in church life, some Sunday funnies perhaps with one another, and see what happens here as we share some stories. So I'm just going to throw it open that way, guys. Has anything gone on recently or a story that something humorous that happened at church in recent weeks?
Well, I don't have one from recent weeks, but I have one that goes back 20 years.
20 years?
It's one of my favorite stories. Yes, 20 years. You were there, I think. You may have been,
Starting to cringe now because it probably involves me.
It was my wedding day. One of the few... one of the glorious things. So I'm getting married. I'm standing on stage with my wife, and it's a very serious day. And we've asked Barry to preach the sermon. Now we also have another minister there from a different denomination, the Wesleyan Church, who was going to perform the vows and some of the other parts of the ceremony. But it was at the Wesleyan Church, and Barry gets up to preach, and he opens up his Bible, and he says, he looks at Allison and I and asks, are you nervous? And we kind of chuckle a little bit, and he says, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a Presbyterian here in a Wesleyan church with a Wesleyan crowd, and the Wesleyan pastor walks up to the microphone in front and says, "You think you're nervous?" So it just kind of a very lighthearted, but it broke the ice. It made the day great, but it was fun. It was not in church per se, but it was nice to see two pastors from different denominations kind of interact in that way. So I don't know if that's a great story or not, but that's, it always tickles me when I think about that. It's one thing I remember specifically about my wedding day.
Well, we got you guys started off with a little laughter.
That's right. And it's been a big ball of joy ever since then.
Wow. Yeah, Scott, a ball of joy. Yes. That would be my immediate description of you, Scott. So, I mean, I've got all kinds of stories that I find funny. Some of them for irony, some of them just comical. Probably one of the ones that sticks out first and foremost to me, and I wasn't laughing in the moment, but looking back, I actually think personally it's pretty funny. I was a student in seminary, and I was still a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And on Saturday night, my pastor called me, and he said, I'm really sick. I've got AM service covered. Could you please preach PM service? And I'd probably only preached three times in my life at that point. And our OPC church was about 500 members. So a pretty big congregation to get started on. And I was like, yeah, that's great. I'd be happy to do it. And so I had a sermon that I had been working on, and I furiously finished it Saturday night. I was pretty happy with it. We worshiped in the morning. We returned in the evening, and one of the elders introduces me, and right, I'm this little shaky, nervous seminary student, like, oh, there's 500 people here. I'm so nervous. I don't know what to do. But I got introduced, and I walked up there, and I opened the Bible, and I read the text, and I said, all right, let's pray for the Lord's blessing now as we turn to his word. And as I went to lead the congregation in prayer, I grabbed my sermon notes and I looked down, and it was a class paper on some completely random topic. And I about had a heart attack right where I was standing. And we lived 30 minutes from home. There was no there was no way to salvage. Like, this is the day before smartphones. So it wasn't like, oh, let me just log into the cloud real quick and get my sermon notes. And I just remember, I think I rambled for a while in my prayer, because I was just in my head, I was going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then I said amen, and I was like, well, not much else I can do. I'm just going to wing this. And so I did end up winging it, and it was and remains the single most uncomfortable moment, I think, of my entire life. And I don't remember anything about it. I told Rachel later, I felt like I was just unconscious through the whole thing, so I couldn't even tell you how it went. But anyway,
well, at least you did. At least you didn't.
Kyle is a seminary student.
At least you didn't read your paper to them.
Yeah, isn't that true?
I was scheduled. You just made me think of a time I was scheduled to preach down in Indianapolis at the Second Reformed Presbyterian Church down there, and so I head down there and I walk into the sanctuary before the service, and Robert Godfrey's there. And, like, you know, I knew who Robert Godfrey was, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'm going to be preaching in front of Robert Godfrey. And a few minutes later, the pastor walks up and he says, I'm sorry, there's been a mistake. you can guess who got bumped.
Let me guess, they forgot to tell Bob Godfrey you were gonna be there.
No, I sat and enjoyed a really good message from Robert Godfrey.
That's cold.
Have you ever had anything else in the pulpit happen to you, Kyle, where you're sitting there trying to figure out what to do?
My pulpit, so I remember this one. Rachel still laughs at me about this one. And somewhere, I'm not going to direct anybody where because I'm not totally sure. I think I've got around 700 sermons posted online, but somewhere this is recorded. I was preaching and I just burped suddenly. like it was one of those mid-sentence things, which has never happened to me before or since. Like, I don't typically, but it was this involuntary, very noticeable burp. And I panicked and I was like, what do I do? And I thought to myself in that moment, you know, I bet nobody heard it. So I just kept preaching. And right afterwards, Rachel comes up to me and she's like, you know, it's proper to just say, excuse me, when you do something like that. So there was that one. And then, see, now I'm going to remember all of these. I get so embarrassed so easily. There was another time where I was preaching, and one of my main points was the word predicament. And apparently, I grew up mispronouncing that word. And I checked with my twin brother did as well. So I'm convinced that we had a teacher once that mispronounced it. And we just, but I used to pronounce the word predicament as perdickerment with double R's. And the whole time I'm preaching, every time I say the word predicament, people are snickering and laughing. And I have no idea what's going on. And afterwards, you know, in that uncomfortable moment when you've got to shake hands with everybody, I think everybody that shook my hand just laughed at me and said, we have no idea what a predicament is. I've got other stories, but what are some more of your guys'?
So all this is doing for me is reaffirming the fact that I have not been called to be a pastor. my frail constitution could not handle those kind of mistakes. Kyle, you are a bigger man than I am.
Oh no.
Well, it's easy.
Those things lay me low for about 5 days. I don't recover.
It's easy to make errors of pronunciation. I remember this wasn't me, but I remember a preaching friend was really talking about the need to keep a proper vigil in prayer. And to be, he was trying to say to be vigilant, but he kept saying vigilant, and we need to be vigilant. And he just kept saying it over and over again. And it just got to the point of, you could see everybody sort of looking around laughing. And of course, I say that because I'm prone to those things. I was preaching a book or from the book of Revelation and talking about how the elders fell down before the Lord. And I meant to say they fell prostrate before God. But you can imagine, but you can imagine what I actually said.
Wait.
People started talking to me about falling prostrates.
Wait, did you actually just confuse those words?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
This is beautiful.
Okay. I was sitting there.
I was just doing that to be funny. Well,
yeah, oh, sure you were, sure. Barry. Every time I say the word prostrate, I catch myself because I'm so worried I'm going to say prostate and get the eruption. I do console myself. They say that people who mispronounce words are usually very avid readers because they're aware of what the word is, but very rarely have they heard the word be pronounced. So I usually just console myself and pat myself on the back. I say, well, I'm a reader, so I don't know all these things.
Yeah, and when you make mistakes like that, it just makes you more approachable, right, as a preacher, more
that's right.
More
that's
real.
Right. If that's what you guys need to tell yourself, that's fine.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks.
Just a parishioner's perspective.
Jerk. one of the moments that I personally now look back at and I kind of laugh, but maybe it's not that funny. In my first 6 months here in Winchester, there was a pretty serious conflict that broke out, primarily between myself and a member. And the member told me that they were never going to come back to church. They never did. But they were really, really, really furious and really angry about something. And we actually moved to discipline this individual. And the day that we were going to announce the discipline, somebody cautioned me, like, you know, just be careful in doing this. And as the service started, I was standing up there, and this man in our congregation, who's just this very foreboding looking man, stands up and he goes to the back of the church and then walks outside. And of course, you're in the pulpit and you're watching all of this and you got things going through your brain, and And he comes inside and he kind of stands by the back door, unseen to everybody but me. He goes back outside. He comes back in. And then throughout the service, he starts tapping all the men in the congregation on their shoulders. And I start panicking in the pulpit, like, did somebody show up here to do something to me, to storm the gates? And he's trying to gather the men in the congregation to play the role of self-defense. And I was so distracted throughout the whole thing. And he just comes and he quietly is tapping every man on the shoulder, and they're getting up and they're following him and something's going on. Well, come to find out after the service, somebody had been rummaging through all the cars in the parking lot. And this man had a friend text him who saw this person rummaging and just said, somebody's going through all the church cars in the parking lot. You ought to go out there. And he was tapping people on the shoulder whose cars had been searched through, just to go out there and give a police report and everything. And I laugh about that now, but I was sweating bullets on the morning that happened.
It's easy to let things run through your mind. Does your wife ever signal to you something when you're in the pulpit, Kyle?
You know, speaking of Sunday funnies, I don't know, because I rarely look at my wife. She sits in the first row, and actually it's the second row, but every now and then I shoot a glance. But my daughter Mabel, one day, I was in the pulpit, and she was being a little noisy, so I shot her this glance. And in Sunday school that morning, they had made sheep masks. And as I shoot her that hairy eyeball look that, you know, you need to behave yourself, she puts her sheep mask on, which has an opening for the mouth. And she shoves her tongue through the mask. And she's so cute. This is very bad of me. I about lost it in the pulpit laughing because it was so funny to me. But I try to avoid looking at my wife. Why, Barry, does Miriam try to signal you with certain things?
And I'm awful at interpretation. So she'll pull her ear and I'm thinking there's something on my ear. So I start rubbing my ear while I'm preaching her. She's trying to tell me to speak up or something like that. So I try to just avoid interpreting her signals and preach on.
You know, Kyle, your story kind of reminds me of being a child. My grandpa was a pastor for years. And I remember one time, I was young. My brother was at church. My grandpa was preaching. My brother was misbehaving. My grandpa stopped the sermon, told my brother to come up and sit down next to him in the middle of the sermon. Now that, so, and my brother, if you know him, he laughs when he's uncomfortable. You know, there are some people who get nervous and they respond to, and I think he actually wet his pants. To show you how young he was. We were really young. Yeah. So he's on stage, and my grandpa is chastising him. And well, then a few years later, I'm sitting with one of my friends. My grandpa's preaching Sunday night. And we just kind of start chatting a little bit in the middle of the sermon. And I'll be darned if he didn't stop in the middle of his sermon, look right at me and say, "Boys, be quiet." And so I didn't have the privilege of a hairy eyeball looking at me. It was like we got called out immediately. Yeah.
Can I admit I've thought of calling my children out? But my sermons are all recorded, and I do not want that recorded for all of time. Like, Judah Scott, sit down and respect your mother. So I've never gotten the courage to do it.
You just need to get a good sound guy that can cut those parts out.
There you go. I am the sound guy. I'm the sound guy. So, Barry, do you have any, what are some of your maybe... I find the pulpit is where a lot of my funnies, and I'm not a funny guy in the pulpit. I try to maintain sobriety and seriousness in the pulpit, but do you have other stories?
Well, when I was first preaching as a church planter in the YWCA building, I'm in the middle of my prayer. And again, we were 30 people in a room with a pulpit that came up to about my belt line. And somebody puts a note on the pulpit, which I think is going to be a prayer item. And I kind of open my eyes a little bit and it says, "Your zipper is open." And so I'm trying behind this pulpit to pray and do that work. And I was unsuccessful. It was just stuck. And so I definitely preached that message that morning, hugging my pulpit. But the funny thing was, is I thought I saw a blue dress that left that note, and I didn't really recognize the writing. And so I opened my eyes, and there in the about the second row, one of the ladies, Susan, who just is always beaming anyway, but she was just really smiling at me. And so I thought she did it. So this whole time I'm up there ministering, I'm thinking that she's kind of laughing because I'm in this situation. But later I realized it was my wife.
That's awesome. You know, I another time I was preaching, and I was preaching in a place that required the King James Bible to be the Bible that had to be read and preached from.
I think I know that place.
Had to sacrifice my liberty of conscience, but we won't get into that part of it. But I was preaching from Jude, and I still maintain, much to the ire of some, that the King James is not the most updated in its expressions. And having not grown up familiar with it, you know, I can trip over some of the words. And I was in Jude chapter 1, verse 4, where a contemporary, a modern version would say, certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. But of course, the old King James word for that is lasciviousness. And I remember knowing that I had to preach from the King James and seeing that word. And I went to the audio Bible and so you pronounce it lasciviousness. I can't even do it now. And I practiced it in the mirror about 40 times going, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I get to the public reading and I say, men turning the grace of our God into la, and I start to try to like a little grade schooler sound it out. And I'm like, and I finally just thought in my mind, dash it all. And I just went, who turned the grace of God into la, and then I just moved on. And it was a horribly embarrassing moment. And anyway, a good argument for preaching from a modern translation.
Yeah, I once had to do the same, and from Isaiah, when it talks about his, they were astonished at his appearance, but the King James says a stonied.
A stonied boy. What kind of connotations does that have? So,
when I'm teaching preaching courses, and sometimes I'll talk to the guys about the gestures that they use up front. And one of the stories I use regarding this, and I may have told this on here before, I can't remember, but my good friend Dave Long, he used to hand out the offering plates to the deacons or whoever was collecting the offerings. And their practice was that he would hand those out. Maybe they were singing, I can't remember, but he would stand up in front because he was going to receive the offering plates back after the offering was collected. And one of his friends told him that he needed to do something else with his hands because he was standing up in front of the congregation and he was rubbing his hands together. like, give me the loot. So you have to be aware of what gestures you're using.
You know, with gestures, and this isn't necessarily a Sunday funny, but practice preaching, I'm sure at your seminary and at the one that I was, I afforded a lot of comedic laughs. And there was a young man who was preaching and on a text that dealt with circumcision and everything. And after he got done preaching, we all went to the back.
Remember, this is a family show, Kyle. This is a family show.
I know it is. Okay. But we get to the back room where we do all the critique and everything. And one of our professors, who will remain nameless, but was a very dignified Scotsman, who critiqued our homiletics and in particular our mannerisms in the pulpit, said, you know, you need to be so careful with your hand gestures. And he said, I don't know if you know it, but every time you said circumcision, you just pointed your hands downward. And he said, that cannot happen in the pulpit. And so, see, these are the things that pastors go through and have to think about.
I remember one time I was preaching about the importance of Christians thinking, and I put both of my index fingers up to my temples and was, you know, Christians, we need to think. And and I guess I just kept preaching and never took them down. And one of the members in the congregation later said, I just wanted to get up there and see if there was super glue or something. I wanted to help pull them off. I was thinking about just how life in the church can often be humorous too. And back in the days when we were in Indiana, our men would have what we would call men's work nights, where we would get together and try to do some work on the building one night a month. And it was quite humorous in and of itself, because it was usually a bunch of incompetent guys trying to get together and do projects with one or two people who actually knew what they were doing. And so you would spend all this time at the building one night, and then the women would come into the church the next time, and it would just seem like it was worse than when they'd gotten there. But probably one of the funniest things that happened is the men were working on putting in a new toilet in the bathroom downstairs, and one of the...
Well, describe what the bathroom looked like.
Well, a church that had owned it before had put in this daycare, and in this really small room had put in three potties right all together. And we called it
three potties?
Well, they were kind of
called toilets potties?
Kids' potties, you know, like toilets. And they were all just right beside each other in this little closet of a room. And we called it the tri-potties, and we finally removed all that and got in a regular toilet. And the guys are all happy that now there's a downstairs bathroom we could use. Well, one of the women went in there, and we heard this kind of noise coming from there. And it comes to find out that they had hooked up the hot water to the toilet. And so the seat was quite warm.
Oh, that's great.
And wasn't somebody putting in some insulation or doing some work in the attic one time at that building and had a misstep and their leg went through the ceiling?
Well,
I
wish it was more dignified than that. It was actually the squirrels. We ended up having
That's right, the squirrels.
We had squirrels loose in our air conditioning vents above the sanctuary. And so we hired this guy to put traps up in the attic, and you went up this ladder into the attic, and then you had to go around a part of the attic, and then there was another wall, and up above on this wall, there were traps that were set, and in order to get up and check the traps, you had to climb up this other ladder. And so, of course, we don't have a janitor or anyone else, so during the week, I had to go up and check these traps. And I was headed up that second ladder to check the trap, and I heard the squeaking, and it startled me, and I fell off the ladder. My foot went through the joists, broke through the roof down below, my legs dangling out. And so once I extract myself out of the situation, I realized the trap was empty, and it was the ladder that was squeaking, not a squirrel. Nice. And there was a bunch of kids at the church, and they heard the noise, and they all came running upstairs and saw my foot hanging out of the ceiling. And so they had a good laugh at my expense.
Of course.
Well, this has been fun. I think we're getting close to our time here. Is there any other little anecdotes you want to share before we close it up? Certainly we could laugh at one of you guys last instead of me.
Well, I don't know that it's funny, but it is there's something to be said about being able to laugh together as a congregation. I remember as a young Christian, a younger Christian, one of the great things we used to do is get together at a campfire or, you know, an evening during the midweek. And there were special times that we would have a special author show up and read stories of the goings on at church. It was Embarrassing Keller. Is that right? And he would read great stories of Lake Woe's Begone and the happenings of the church. And I just remember those as very sweet times because we got to laugh at each other. But when you laugh at each other, with each other, I wouldn't say at each other, but laugh with each other, the heart really grows closer. And so those are really sweet times. And I don't know if you remember, Barry, how those ended, but something about I want you to know I just really appreciated those times of just laughing and enjoying life together as a congregation.
I enjoyed those times because I wrote the stories and just made fun of everybody in the church. And
That is true.
But I also tried to make fun of myself a little bit.
Take a page from Barry's pastoral handbook there. Make fun of people in the church. Got it.
Well, it's often I find that people, those who are identified as Christians who can't laugh, who take everything so seriously, that often get off kilter as well. Because God has given us the gift of laughter, and so it is important to enjoy one another, enjoy the funny memories or the stories that we have with one another. And it looks like we're out of time here, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Three Guys. We'll call it theologizing, although I guess it was a little bit more trying to be a little funny, have a little fun with one another. We're thankful that you've joined us and hope that maybe this has lifted your spirits just a bit today. We are thankful for those who support us, and if you want to learn more about us, you can go over to 3gt.xyz, our website, and find out more about us, and particularly if you are so inclined, how to keep us going on the air. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing.